Sam Ackerman, what's on your YouTube algorithm recommendations?
Food and rugby league, almost exclusively.
There you go.
Almost exclusively. And I tell you what, it makes me hungry almost every time.
We're going to start with the sevens, though, because we were stars and then we weren't, speaking of New Zealand sides, and now we are again.
Yeah, listen, it's fair to say that we as a nation took sevens a little bit for granted. It's one of those sports we were kind of at the top at, always were going to win. But then suddenly things got universal, right? The Commonwealth Games were a big deal, and there's the seven circuits, sure. But as the Olympics come on, it's been a much of a harder slog. But I don't want to get anyone's hopes up too high. But if you look right now, New Zealand seems to have found its groove again in men's and women's sevens. And in defence of the Black Ferns sevens, they didn't really lose their groove. They've been a dominant force for a fair while now. So, winning those medals for New Zealand as they have at the games, at Olympic champions and the like. But at watching both teams go right now in consecutive tournaments to end the regular part of the World Sevens circuit, they've won. They won in Hong Kong and they've won in Singapore, both the men's and the women's sides. Now, that sets them up nicely to go into what is the grand final type of tournament. So the top eight teams qualify for the final event in Madrid. That's the end of the month. So both the New Zealand sides go through there. New Zealand, the women's team go through top. The men's team go through third in the overall standings. But they're in really good space. So there is the championship playoff here, and after that, it is the Paris Olympics. So the two events you want to be peaking for, New Zealand is hitting form at the right time. Now, the women's, as you mentioned, they have been killing it for an extended period of time. They've got some legitimate superstars of New Zealand sport in there, and the likes of Portia Woodman-Wycliffe, Stacey Waka, Michaela Blyer. There's some people who have achieved everything that you can hope to achieve in women's rugby, and they are superstars. So a very strong side, six winners from the last Tokyo Olympics within their squad that played in the weekend. But what really impresses me is the men's side. They finished with back-to-back tournaments, as I say. It's been a little while for them since they've been had that level of success, and the expectation the Olympics has been difficult. Haven't won that gold yet. Did win after failing in the first attempt. They did win Rio. They did win the silver at the last crack, which is an amazing result. But let's face it, our sevens teams are kind of expected to be the best in the world. So there's within that squad right now, eight of them of this men's team have played over 100 games, and Dylan Collier just racked up 300 games representing his country along the way. Obviously played quite a few games in the tournament, but they're in a good spot. There's depth within these sides. They're playing well and lining things up for the sevens. Now, I don't want to get too excited just yet, but the concept of New Zealand winning gold in both men's and women's, very much on the cards right now.
In the 15-a-side game, Scott Robertson hasn't even lined up a side yet on the field, but he's coming up against some challenges.
Yeah, for a man so used to success, and also in Scott Robertson's defence as well, so used to coaching. This has been, I had the opportunity to speak to him not that long ago, and it's been the longest time he's gone without coaching in a very long time. He's usually got, you can kind of plot a campaign, you get on to the next one, but from the end of Super Rugby through to what will be now the end of the next Super Rugby without taking a team is an awful long time for someone who loves the craft as much as he does. But the problem he's got at the moment, of course, is every plan he's lining up seems to be thrown out the window somewhat. Players not coming back from overseas that he thought might, or hoping to lure some out of retirement. We've had the situation where Will Jordan would have been, I'm sure, at the start of the year would have had his card marked as, right, he will be my number 15, or at least a very strong contender. Gone. Cam Rogard, everyone's favourite for the number 9 jersey, out for the start of it as well, both with some major injuries along the way. Now, Scott Barrett is injured, and people are not sure how long he's going to be out for. He hadn't had a lot of game time, and most people see him as the option for captain for this All Blacks side. And the main reason for that is, he's a very good leader. He also brings hugely important depth to the locking area. That's now minus Sam Whitelock and Brady Retallick. So a crucial leader within that team, whether he's got the C next to his name or not. But if you look at the other captaincy options, Sam Kane, who is eligible because he's only on a sabbatical playing in Japan, he's missed most of the season through injury. So you certainly couldn't realistically bring him in cold to captain the All Blacks in a what we are very contentious call anyway. Artie Savia, again, has not been in the environment of late. But you mentioned coming back from Japan, he would be almost a shoo-in at this stage now because of that. But picking up injuries for the likes of Mark Dallaire, Riki Ioane, all picking up kind of knocks and bruises as things go. You can imagine that it's like a you'd almost need one of those extra kits that you can just shake off and start writing a team list again every week, Catherine. It must be difficult for him. But for those who are thinking, how hard that must be for Razor, we should also keep in context. For a first-year coach, I don't think anything over top what Ian Foster had to deal with COVID, where he literally had all these plans for tests, and then the tests, not the players, the tests were removed from him by the pandemic. So it could be worse, but certainly when it comes to naming his side, I imagine it's a movable feast for Razor right now.
The Phoenix, the A-League playoffs, I'm not sure how many tickets have sold on that local home game that's coming up for the Phoenix. Many people are hoping it's as close to a sellout as you get. And just how significant is this in the life of this team and this franchise, in fact, and also for, Wellingtonians who want a local franchise here?
Well, New Zealand should be getting on their back right now and supporting them. This is a team that's finished second in the regular season. I really hate the A-League playoff format where the top two teams skip the first week. I know why they do it, but it feels like a little bit of momentum's lost while the other challengers kind of play their way into it. And so we know now that the Melbourne Victory, who pulled off a stunning, stunning result, early red card, and came back to win on penalties against their neighbours, Melbourne United, and they have two very closely matched sides, are the Victory and the Phoenix so far this year. So it's a two-league playoff. The first game will actually be in Melbourne this Sunday, and that's where the Phoenix are playing first off. And then it's the next leg back will be the following weekend in Wellington. So still a couple of weeks away from that game, but it's time New Zealand jumped on board with the Phoenix. And now we've got the Auckland FC starting next year, and that'll be really exciting. But they've got a chance to create history, and that kind of momentum can be monumental when the nation actually starts supporting them. It's not like we've got sporting overload at the moment. Not a lot of success going on with the Warriors as things stand, and Super Rugby is doing its usual thing. So hopefully the country gets behind them because they deserve it. They deserve to be back to the hilt.
At that stadium, I think it's they're hoping for around 25,000. I don't know how things were tracking when I saw the last lot of figures, but it can go up
Still
into the
plenty to go.
30s,
Still
and one
plenty of time,
hopes.
but buy a ticket. Get
Look,
along if you're in
exactly.
Wellington. It'll be special.
Exactly. Now, speaking of the Warriors, been a while between drinks, as they say.
Climbing into a month now for the Warriors. Their last loss against the Knights in the weekend was not a pretty performance, and their attack was going all right, but their defence was poor. Their defence was slightly more improved, but going into this game, but you're really lacking a cohesion that we've expected to see from this Warriors side. So they sit 14th, but I will point out they are only, I think it's what, 3 points out from fifth or sixth place, and also 3 points out from bottom of the table too. So they're in the middle of a crucial period that they need to turn around with two very tough games against the Roosters and the Panthers to come. So yeah, a little concerning if you were behind the Warriors right now. But there was a disallowed try in the weekend, a penalty try that everyone's losing their mind about. The NRL said too contentious to call. They lost by 6 points, but the Warriors making it clear that's not why they lost still. It's one of those things that when things aren't falling your way, they're really not falling your way.
Indeed. Okay, what else is around about at the moment? So some motor racing underway?
Yeah, it's not often we talk about who won the latest Formula One Grand Prix because usually it's an extremely boring topic. The answer is always Max Verstappen. But for the first time since 2022, there's a first-time winner in Formula One, and a guy called Lando Norris. He won the Miami Grand Prix. Verstappen had a crash. He came back out from the pits, but couldn't get there quite in time. And the scenario for him, he ended up finishing second. Still good, still strong. But this is a massive deal. Morris held the all-time record for podium finishes without a win. And everybody's excited about this because of the dominance of Red Bull has been just absolutely mental. Out of the last 50 Grand Prix, Red Bull, which is Verstappen and his teammate Sergio Perez, have won 42, and 38 of those from Verstappen. So it's been getting a little predictable, a little boring. There's only been six different winners in the past three seasons, and to put that into context, before that run in 2021, there were six different winners in that year alone. So it shows just how dominant he's been. Everyone says Formula One's going great off the field, off the track. Everyone's invested in the Netflix series and all the drama going around it. But yeah, it's so popular because everyone's sick of seeing Verstappen win. So they need a little bit more of that to inject some life into it.
Okay, a minute left. Is Mahi Drysdale going to run for Tauranga Mayor, or have you just started his election campaign without him knowing?
No, this is he has put this forward. He says it's something he's contemplating. He's got heritage in there. In fact, his granddad was the mayor of Tauranga back in the day, and as it stands, one of his uncles is currently set to run, so that should be interesting. But he's hugely popular. He's got, people are going to vote for him on name alone, his reputation. Great leader. We've seen what he's done with the Athletes Cooperative, standing up to high performance sport in New Zealand. From their point of view, he's a financial advisor. It's particularly interesting, and Tauranga breeds leaders. It's just the simple fact of things, Catherine. You can't hide it. Mahi went to Tiger Boys High. The current All Blacks captain, and Mr. Sam Kane was there. Current Black Caps captain, also from the area, and Kane Williamson, and the Team New Zealand
Maybe they could
helmsman.
all run for
And
council when there's finally an election held again soon.
maybe that's the way forward. We had too many politicians involved and not enough sports people.
Very good. Thank you, Sam Ackerman.